great blessing to be with you tonight. And I really appreciate what Brother Jamie preached. I believe what he preached that came out of the Bible. And all this weekend, he's been messing me up because I've had some big sermons in mind. And he gets me off track. I just tease about that. I feel like it would be wrong if I didn't follow through on what he preached about tonight. And you might say, well, who all be interested in that sermon? Everybody in the building will be interested in that sermon. Somebody said, well, I'm 90 years old, and I'm past that time. Have you ever heard of prayer warriors?
Yeah.
You ever heard of prayer warriors? Well, I said, my kids are all grown up. Have you ever heard about advice to give to young people trying to bring kids up? Somebody said, well, I'm divorced. Well, have you ever heard about maybe telling some people how to avoid the mistakes you made?
Yeah.
Brethren, listen, the devil hates the family. The home is the first institution that God set up. Even before he set up the church, Brother Malcolm, he set up the marriage in the Garden of Eden. And I read a book one time, and I liked what they said. The family is a bullseye on the devil's target. We ain't preaching like we heard. You know, it goes counter to what the culture says, but we're not interested in what the culture says. And we're Christians. We care about what God's Word says. Every older sister here ought to be willing to teach younger sisters what is right. Even if you make the mistakes, say, I make the mistakes here, don't you avoid the mistakes I've made. Every older man here ought to be getting counsel to these young men. And kids, you better be listening too. Every unmarried kid better be listening. You may find yourself in a mess. The best thing on the top side of this earth, besides God's church, is a good marriage. I've been married 41 years, just got this celebrating my 41st anniversary. I told a young couple today, it starts out good and it gets better. Brother, it's good if you do it right. Now, I've made a lot of mistakes. But if we follow God's command, it starts out good and it gets better. That's how God designed it. Brother, God designed for us to get married, to death do us part, and to learn to grow all together. I know sometimes we have divorces and we have some great chapel. But brethren, still, I'm going to hold the word of God up. Malachi says, God hates divorce. He hates putting away. He hates it. Sometimes it may be necessary. Sometimes, but very rarely, God hates that. We ought to want our marriages to thrive. Why should we want to do anything? What's our mother want everything? What is it? The glory of the Almighty God. What does picture the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church? It's marriage as the brother has just preached to us. So you press me now, because my needs are still me, because I know I'm going to say some things that may go against the flesh, like Brother Jamie did, but here's your prayer. Every time you're preaching at the pulpit, here's what you ought to pray for him. The same thing Paul asked him to pray for him in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador of Christ, that therein I may speak boldly at all to speak. Preachers all speak boldly. That is the word of God. So, Jamie, I'm going to repeat those things you said, and I'm not doing any better. I just want to go to Scott for you. Let me just kind of give a few sound bites. Y'all help me here. I don't have this organized. I want to go preach on this. But now, he talked about daddies ought to be good daddies, not making a boy and girl's man. Now, daddy ought to be the boss. I mean, he's the leader. He doesn't need to be a wimp. I still tell my boys, I said, I can still beat y'all up if I get mad. Well, I really can't just talk about it. But then he's got to, you know, brother, you know what even the sociologists say today? That a lot of our crime comes from fatherless homes. Because boys need to be civilized. Boys and girls are different. You know that God made them different. You ever understand? And brother, boys need a daddy to get in their face and say, buddy, you're going to do what I tell you to do. You hear that? And you young men, even when you're teenagers, you need to obey your daddy and respect them. If you love them, you will respect them. My daddy was a good, godly man. You know why I obeyed my daddy? Not because he beat me up, because I love my daddy and I respected my daddy. Do you love your daddy? If you do, you won't mind. You may say, daddy, I love you, and then you act like a rebel. You don't love your daddy. If we love God, brother, we're going to mind God. It may go against our flesh. If we love God, he says, you love me, you'll do my commandments. If I love my wife, I'm going to act right toward my wife. So please listen to me. Now listen, one thing Brother Jamie said, I exhorted the young couple today for people to get married, and this is so important. It's summed up this way. The role of the husband is summed up, as Brother Jamie said, in one word, that is love. But the role of the woman is summed up in one word, that's respect. He's right about that. You get that out of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church. Brethren, if your boy's not ready to be self-sacrificing and give everything you've got to your wife, you're not ready to get married yet. If we husband, if we're not doing that, we need to repent and love our wife more and think about them first and be there and do everything we can to help them. And our responsibility also, if we're a Christian man, that's the only kind of man we ought to be, is that we need to be having Bible studies with our wives I'm talking about not just so tired we can't do that, because God says, and Mark, me and you, and all of us got to do this, he said we're supposed to sanctify them with the cleansing of water by the word. That's what the brother just read to us. I know Christ does that for us, but he sets the example for us. I need to be leading my wife in the word of God. So if you men are not doing that, get on the ball and do it. Get on the ball and do it. And women encourage us to do so also. Now, I'm going to give you one of the praise secrets. This is the praise secret, but I'm going to give you one, okay? I perform a lot of wedding ceremonies. And here's what I say. Now, I mean this too. If you show your husband the respect you ought to, he can whip the whole world with one hand tied behind his back. Because God's word says, reverence your husband. That's a strong word in the Ephesians. I didn't say that. God said that. If you want to fight somebody, fight God, not me. It said in Ephesians 5:33, and the wife sees, she reverenced her husband. Women, you respect those husbands. They may not deserve respecting them, but God didn't say, wait till they deserve respecting. He said, respect your husband, reverence your husband. That's what that word means. And for my wife, and my wife does almost all the time, and so I don't really deserve it all the time, and you know what? It gives me strength. Women, you can cut the leg of that mother of man, but you do your thing against God, and you're actually sinning against your own self. There's a line in that Pride and Prejudice, I don't know where y'all have seen that or not, me and Peter say about once a year, all six of them. And there's one line that just moves me, and it's this woman, and her sister says, why do you care what he thinks about you anyway? And here's this line that moves me, that I don't know, that there's something about it, I can't bear to think, he's anything anywhere in the world thinking ill of me. Now, I know that line hits me. If my wife is thinking ill of me, it just eviscerates me. But when I know my wife's behind me, come on, world, I'll take you on one hand tied behind my back. Women, you can make your men be strong men. You show them the respect you ought to show them, whether they deserve it or not. If you show it to them, they'll probably measure up to it. And men, love your wife. That's a pretty powerful stuff. That's a soundbite, isn't it? Now, let me give you kids a soundbite. I'm just going to give you a soundbite. I'm going to sit down before you think I am. Kids, listen for a soundbite to y'all. He said, obey your parents, right? Okay, let me give you four things about obedience. You listen to me, kids, listen to me. You're not being obedient if you don't do these four things. Number one, you do it instantly. That's instant obedience. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Take your garbage out. Okay, Mom, I have not already taken it out. You have not been obedient. You hear me? Don't get scared. I'm not reporting to you. Oh, a little fella's going to be scared to death. But anyway, you, I'm talking to you too, though. Number two is, brothers and sisters, complete. God doesn't want us to do cafeteria line obedience. You know, cafeteria line is you just choose this, believe this, and choose this, move this. Have you ever heard of a cafeteria line Christian? When we just do what we want to do when God says, it's easy to do the word of God we like. But sometimes we don't like to do it. But the test of obedience is, if we do it, we don't like to do it and go against our flesh. So we've got to be completely obedient. You know, let me show you an example of a man who's not completely obedient to King Saul. This is a pretty serious sentence, by the way, in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. He said, Saul, you kill all these Amalekites and kill all these animals. So guess what old Saul did? He was pretty obedient, but he just didn't want to get enough with it. He killed most animals. He killed everybody but one time he became king over again. And you know what happened to him because of that? He lost the kingship. He lost the kingship because he was not obedient. And God called him a rebel. And that's why we don't obey, we're being rebels, whether we like to admit it or not. He said rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. So we've got to be obedient instantly, completely obedient, and get this, cheerfully obedient. I don't need to grip my teeth and say, I'm going to find you, blah, 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 like that. No, we need to ask God to help us to be cheerfully obedient. And then number four is, it ought to be from the heart. Isn't that good? You remember those four things, can you? We need to be instantly obedient. We need to be completely obedient. We need to be cheerfully obedient. We need to be obedient from the heart. And by the way, grown up, that's what we need to be towards God. That's obedience. Nothing less than that is obedience. It's just part of obedience. God doesn't perfect that. Now, Daddy, let me tell you something. God, and I'm me too. I heard John McDowell one time on a tape, and he said something. It's so good. I bought the tape, and the tape was no good, but what he said was great. So I lost some money. I wish I just have to say. Here's what he said on the Daddy, listen to me. There's a 3 hours here. He said, rule without relationship leads to rebellion. That's great, isn't it? That's a good sermon, isn't it? If I didn't say anything else. We got rules, but if we don't have a relationship with our kids, then it leads to rebellion. We need to have rules, but let them know we love them. If we love our kids, we'll spend time with our kids. Sometimes we daddies get so busy, we don't spend time with our kids. Brothers, we need to talk to our children and let them talk to us. We need to listen to our children. We need to be alert. I've got a great family God blessed me with. I've had one real bad thing that happened to one of my children lately, and she's repentant. But I blame partly on myself not being more alert. I wish I'd been more. I was kind of alert, but I wasn't alert enough. I've got a picture on my office wall that daddy's listening to me, and granddaddy's listening to me, because you're involved, and men just love kids listening to me. I've got a picture on my wall in my office, And there's a picture there of a man bowing down in prayer over a sleeping girl, a little precious sleeping doll. I've got six boys and five girls. And I love my kids so much, I just tell somebody, Mercy now is, I think she's 17, I can't believe that, 16. And I slain away at a manger because she's 10 years old. She's my last one, I just quit doing it when I put her to sleep. But anyway, there's a daddy there praying on this precious little daughter. And outside the window, there's a bad guy trying to get in, a bad evil spirit trying to get in. And there's a good spirit, probably a good angel, trying to help him out. And you know what the catch it is? Spiritual warfare. Better we daddies need to be exercising spiritual warfare over our children. Because the devil's trying to get them. The devil's trying to get them. So let's remember that. Let's exercise spiritual warfare. And let's love our children as we should. Let me go ahead and read a little bit. Now, I'm going to re-quick some of what you preach. I'm not doing it better. I'm just trying to shock you for you. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And young people, let me say this before we get it. Tim, you listen to me? All you guys listen to me. All you big guys listen to me? When you get to be a teenager, a young adult, you still obey your parents. It's a little bit different. I realize that. It's not the same level of hands-on stuff if you grow up a little bit. You need to honor your parents. I don't care. You always honor them. I can prove that you all do that. Before I go to 1 Timothy, let's go to 15th chapter of Matthew to prove this to you. We never get to where we're not supposed to honor our parents. And by the word, that came from the Ten Commandments. You know that? And that commandment says, honor thy father and mother. There's more to it than just obeying them. There's more to honor than just obeying, isn't it? Honor is an attitude of the heart. And God said, honor thy father and thy mother. So you need to think well of your father and mother. Don't speak against your father and mother. There's something that one of my pet peeves is some of our electronic devices today. Stuff like Facebook is one of them. It makes them be used in a good way. It probably is, but you better be careful. I have become aware of young people talking about their parents derogatorily to their friends behind their back. That is ungodly. If you're doing it, repent of that. Repent of it. You don't think even your parents behind it. I don't care. You don't give your peers and have them eaten up saying bad things about parent day. That is not right, brothers and sisters. We need to be careful. Listen, we got to where we have no privacy anymore. We tell everything today. We have no sense of shame anymore. Some of the stuff that I've heard on Facebook is unbelievable. You need to be careful to protect your privacy. Protect the privacy of your family is what you need to be doing. A fool of his own mind, not a person who's trying to walk close to God. We need to be restrain ourselves, my dear friends. Some of these things can be used in a good way, but you must be careful not to use them in a bad way. So anyway, in Matthew 15, to show you, and Brother Stephen Boyd, the best I've ever heard preach on this, he came to Memphis and talked about how to take care of old folks. And I'll tell you, it's classic. I'm going to call it classic, Brother Stephen. I may embarrass you, but you have to be embarrassed with it. Classic. It's wonderful about taking care of old folks. And brothers and sisters, you're obligated to honor your parents and take care of them till they die. That means if it takes every bit of your life savings and your time to take care of them till they get infirm and not just stick them away somewhere, brother, you're obligated to do that. You're obligated to do that. God's word says the children and nephews, and that word nephews in the Greek means lineal descendants. That means grandchildren and great-grandchildren and kids. We're obligated to take care of our parents and honor them. That's a biblical obligation. So the 15th chapter, the Lord says that really in the 15th chapter of Matthew, he's talking to these old Pharisees. And Paul just breaks into the context here, and he says in verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. That's the sixth commandment. Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it's a gift of whosoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, then he shall be free. In other words, he's saying here, you need to, in a financial way, take care of your parents, even when they get old. That's honoring thy father and mother. So friends, listen, dear boys and girls, and not, I'm going to take my life, y'all made me talk to you this way. Honor your parents. Honor them. By thinking well of them, and speaking well to them, and about them, and acting right towards them. We live in a society where we throw our old people on the junk heap. When they have bad old assets offered us, we listen to them. They have wisdom we need to listen to them about. They have experience we need. And we're just getting rid of all that. It's just not right. Some of the best people in the church are old people. Some of our old people, on their last legs physically, are in some of their most productive years, if we'll just listen to them and get the advice that they give to us. Older sisters, I'm going to re-preach what Jamie said, because he needs to be said again. Listen, it's wrong for an old sister to try to turn a young sister away from her husband. I'm going to read to you. Let me say first, then read to you for the Word of God. Let's just say that there's a young sister had lots of trouble with a husband. He may be in the wrong. She goes to the older sister. What's the older sister supposed to do? What's she supposed to say? I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't take that off of him. I bet he respects me. You may believe. You think that's what the Bible says? You think what the Bible says? Have you ever read the Bible? If you have, you know it doesn't say that. Here's what she ought to say. Honey, you can make it. You can make it. I'll pray for you. I'll have you. You just do what the Bible says, and he may even change. If he doesn't change, God will give you grace. Y'all remember my sister Rebecca Huffman, some of y'all do. She had a very difficult husband. He's dead now. I believe he's with the Lord. I believe he's a Christian. I believe he's actually a child of God, but he had a lot of problems, bad problems. He had a manic depression. And sometimes he was crazy as a bedbug. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. But you know what my sister did? A lot of people said, Rebecca, you ought to leave him. She never left him. She stayed with him. And her boys, all three of them, old Baptist preachers, rise up and call her blessed. And they thank God for what she did to standing by her husband. What a great testimony she was, my dear friend. Yes, it was real, real hard, but she did it. She's a happy widow today. I know she's a widow. She still is grieving for him, but she's a fulfilled widow with a good conscience that did what she could. She did what God called her to do. Aren't you glad? I never told her to leave him. I said, honey, you stick with him. That's the advice I gave her. I gave her some good brotherly advice out of the Word of God. But I think not everybody gave her good advice. A lot of old Baptist women gave her bad advice, and they were wrong when they did that. If you sisters, if there's a young sister having problems, pray with her. Encourage her. You said, Brother Zach, that's just your advice. Not my advice. Let me read to you what the Word of God says. Daniel read it to us once. Titus. Chapter 2. Just read verse 1 and all down a few verses. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. Get this. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false tutors, not giving too much wine, teachers is a good thing, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to what else? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. If you care about the Word of God being blasphemed, you'll try to obey these things. Isn't that amazing? You say, how do you teach you to love your husband? You learned that? Yeah. To love your children? I thought everybody loved their children. Anybody who raised kids knows it's a hard job. That's why we have a selfish society today that won't have kids. It's a hard job. We raise love. It's the hardest job in the world in a woman with young children. My hat's off to all you women with young children. The hardest job in the world is a woman with young children. We ought to all help them all we can and pray for them. They're doing what God taught them to do. It's a wonderful thing they're doing. Our hats off to our godly mothers. My friend, the hand that rocked the cradle, ruled this world. You know, sisters, you say, well, I'm in a difficult situation. There's a lady in the Bible in a difficult situation. It was Timothy's mother. Her husband was an unbelieving, uncircumcised Greek. But Lois, the grandmama, and Eunice, the mother, were godly women. I suspect that she submitted to her husband. I think you would be. But she still, somehow or another, had such an influence on Timothy, he became Paul's favorite preacher. You may be in a difficult situation, but you do what God says, he'll bless you beyond your finest imagination. We don't know how to trust the Word of God sometimes. Yes, you can learn to love your husband, and you can learn to love your children. Sometimes children are unlovable. They are. They may look awful cute, but they're awful unlovable sometimes. They aren't they? How can anybody believe in infantile purity? I don't understand. Some of these people that preach that, I won't call it denominational language, I don't know who it is. They believe that's a regeneration. But how in the world they don't believe in infantile? I tell you, every one of my kids raised me to prove to me about the whole thing. You ever have to teach your kids how to lie? No, you got to teach them to tell the truth. They just know how to lie, don't they? You know where they learn that? The devil. They learn that they're on the prey nature. But anyway, the point I'm making is, dear sisters, I'm appealing to you sisters. I'm not asking you sisters. I'll talk pretty plain. I beg you sisters, get on it. Dear older sisters, teach the young women the right thing. Would you please do that? God, it's a great asset for the church to do that. And all the brethren, let's teach the younger men the best thing to do. Let's teach it. My boys are better than I was. I tell you, I'll have to admit to you, I'm a kind of old male chauvinist. That's kind of my age. That's my age. We had a bunch of them. And so I'm ashamed of myself. I hardly ever wash dishes. But you know what I've learned, sisters, you won't believe this. My wife thinks I've got born again. For the last 2 years, I've been making up our bed. I went 39 years and never made up our bed. Something my conscience got over to me. I started making our bed up. And so she just let it stay there. Now she knows I'm going to make it up. But my boys helped my wife out more than I did. Their wives, I mean. I'm glad they have. I'm glad, Jamie, aren't you? See, some men think, well, I just wimpy to have a woman. It's not wimpy at all. But I got to tell you a true story. This is kind of funny. But it gets the point across. We had a not long ago, a pool shower. We did have pool showers. So the women that have their shower, we're going to have pool showers when they get married. So we give pools to them. And we also give them good advice. So we have pool showers. And we're giving this advice. And this old fellow said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. We had six kids sitting around there on Sunday morning at our house. He said, it's got to be pretty hectic. He said, my wife was never on time. And he said, I'm real punctual. He said, one morning, she said, honey, let's change over this morning. Once you get the kid ready, I'll sit out the front yard and bake the horn. So make sure when them horn papers get off the ball and start getting the kid ready. No, I'm not serious about that. Let's read just for a moment over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Daniel's already read this. There's 6 verses for the women, 1 verse for the men. But I agree with Jamie, I really believe these men have a hard job, probably we do it right. Let's read this wonderful material, and after I'm gone, you can read it again. This is wonderful. I'm glad Jamie brought this up. I would have had a curtain prickle for my kids if him and you get starting off. But I know some of this stuff is kind of hard to take, but brothers, the Bible, we've got to take it. We love the Lord, we've got to take it. We have no choice. Or just admit we're going to be a rebel. And I don't recommend that because God's stronger than we are. He knows how to break down the mat. Likewise, you wives, be subjected to your own husbands. Now, that word subjected is an interesting word. It's the Greek word hypotasso. It means to rank under. Now, you're in the Air Force, right? There may be, sometimes you may have an officer that's as star as he can be. He may be an ungodly guy in the world, but guess what? You still got to move. He's better than an officer, but he's the ranks there. Brother, that's what the husband is, he's ranks. That's what God means for ranking officer. So it's not you as your husband a great guy when you start doing this. You do it because you love God. We had a sister in our church one time married to an unbeliever, and I mean he acted like an unbeliever too. And she almost left him. And I begged her, said, please don't leave him. I said, I read her this scripture right here. You know what she did? It just touched my heart. They're dying together, by the way. That was a final. She said, Brother Zach, I'll do it because I love God. There's no way I can do it. And brother, God bless her. They're dying together. They're no nursing home now. And that's 30 years ago. But it had been the word of God, she left him. Because he's hard to live with. But she said, I'll do it simply because I love God. Anyway, likewise, you wives, you're subjected to your own husband. Instead of any obey not the word. Here's a husband name being what he ought to be. They may also, without the word, be wound with the conversation of the wife. Your behavior, you're wavering with your behavior. And here's the kind of behavior you'll be exhibiting, which is not the kind the world recommends. Probably hold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That doesn't mean you're afraid that he's going to view you. It's his respect he's talking about. Now get this. And it's not wrong for a woman to be pretty. My wife's a real pretty. And she's gracious nice, and I'm glad she does. But it means that's not what you put all the emphasis on. That's what he's talking about. It doesn't mean you've got to walk around in one of these verse clothes like these Islamic people do. It means that you can be attractive, but that's not the point. But the most important thing is your inward adornment. That's what he's saying. It's a proportion here. So who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Isn't that something separate? A meek and quiet spirit, which is of the five God's great pride. Let me just tell you this. This is another trade secret I give you. We men, I know we're not made right. I mean, we're sinners. I know that. But there's something about a man. When my wife is truly meek and quiet, I can't fight it. I just can't fight it. Every time she's meek and quiet, she wins. But there's something inside me. She's not meek and quiet. That old resistance builds up. I hate it. I know it's not right. That's the way we men are made. You didn't need to realize that. So when you come at us kind of strong, all you're doing is stirring our old carnal nature up. But if you be meek and quiet, we'll melt like a piece of butter. I'll tell you, you try it. You try it. I've done it. That's happened to me. Every time my wife's meek and quiet, she can get anything she wants. I can't find it. I can't find it. But the minute she starts showing resistance, inside of this, I start doing it like that. Jay, you that way, I know you are. You may be working like that. I hope you are. I hope I can work that out of the world. All right, let's keep reading. Anyway, God likes that. The world may not like it, but God likes it. For after this manner, in the old-timey holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjected to their own husbands. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That was like just a title of respect. Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid of any abatement. So that's the sisters. Now, brethren, here's our job. We're kind of slow learners, men. Let me ask you a question. I know you've had jobs. Some of y'all have some real good jobs. Some of y'all have some demanding jobs. Sometimes you have to have a manual to go through your job. And you read it. I've got a brother who's got a brand new job. He's had to study at home a lot, learning some new computer software. He's studying what? I know you study stuff. The most precious thing God gives you is your wife. Have you ever studied her? See, most of us, what does that mean? Look at this verse right here. I'm going to give you something to do. I hate to give this public. I wish I could see men aside. It would be a secret thing, but it's too late for that now. Let's go. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a wicker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's a precious verse. Let me read it again, so I'll talk too fast. Let me slow down a little bit. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We need to know our wife. Giving honor to them, it says, to the wicker vessel. And were you women like unless you're wicker? I don't know what that all thing's talking about, but God says you're wicker, so you are in some ways. He said that. The Bible said, I didn't say that. As being heirs together, that's a precious expression. Heirs together in the grace of life. Isn't that beautiful expression? Heirs together. You're an heir, brother, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister, you're an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. You live together. You're heirs together in the grace of life. Heads of heaven together. Hallelujah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And that's why I said it gets better. It starts out good, gets better if you do it right. We're going to heaven together. My little old pilgrim, I'm an old pilgrim. We're heading down the path in the sunset, brethren. Heading for heaven together. Heirs together in the grace of life. But he said, we husbands need to dwell with our wives, according to knowledge. Now, we have a lot of jokes about women, about not knowing a woman. And I may be a little quick to that, but brother, we can know more about it than we think we can. God tells me, I got to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. So here's what I recommend men do when I give a marriage counseling. I said, become a student of your wife. And I've done that, but I'm glad I preached this to myself now. I need to kind of get revamped. I got a book on my wife. I got a notebook on my wife. I know what clothes she wears, what size clothes she wears. I know what she likes to eat. I know where she likes to go out. I know what kind of music she likes. I know what kind of flowers she likes. But that's just the superficial stuff. Some men don't even know that. But also, I'm learning, hopefully, what her hopes and fears are and her weaknesses. I can help her in that. You see what I'm saying? If a man is a smart man, and you, boy, I hope some of you got to take me up on that, get you a manual. And you interview your wife if you have to. Watch your wife. Observe her. Learn her. Grow her according to knowledge. If we do that, Mark, do it. If you haven't done it, do it. Get on it. Well, our goal should be, brethren, our goal should be my wife is the happiest woman on the top side of the earth. That ought to be our goal. That's what God's word says. Dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the wicker vessel, being heirs together in the grace of life. I could preach all night on this, but I'm not going to do it. The point's been made. I will say one thing, though. Wives, another thing, I've got to say this, though. Get in Proverbs 31, sisters. And men, you get there, too, because that's the kind of woman you want to marry. And there are not many I'm around. You boys are stupid if you don't marry one like that. I'd rather be single than if I wasn't married to somebody like my wife. I mean that. But let's look just a minute. But girls, you read it too, because all you girls ought to be this kind of woman. And it's not going to be easy. You got to work at this. And you sisters who are in marriage already, you're probably like this some, but even get better if you will. You ought to read this and be students. Let's just read a few. I won't read the whole thing. Who can find a virtuous woman? This is Proverbs 31:10. And it's hard to find one today too. Her price is far above rubies. I love this next verse. Get this, sisters. The heart of her husband, the safety trusted her, so that he shall have no need to spoil. My heart safety trusted my wife. You know, I don't even know what we do with our money hardly. Because I'm such a blowhard, spendthrift, we've been in the poorhouse with my wife. Now, I know I'm the head. I know I'm the head of the house. And I act like that. But, brother, she's my vice president of finances. And I'd be a dumbbell if I didn't let her do it. We went to the grocery store one time. I got so tickled. We went to the grocery store, had these two packets full of groceries, and we rung them up. She just looked stunned, and the man looked stunned. And I found what it was. She thought he had cheated her, and he said, "Woman, I've never seen anybody buy that many groceries here with that amount of money." So I'd be a dumb if I'd be a grocery store buyer. But anyway, my heart trusted her. And I hope, and that's what you ought to strive your wife. And listen, oh, I just want to clap when I say this. I've been married 41 years. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's what she's done. And sister, if you hadn't done that, get on it and do it. You know, I'm going to promise you something. By God's word, I promise you this. If you'll do what God's word says, you'll be fulfilled. The most happy women in the world are the fulfilled women who are obeying God's commands. Some statement says that you're not to be fulfilled by being submissive. You'll be fulfilled if you be aggressive. That is not true. The aggressive women are the unhappy women. But the women, my friends, who do what God said do, they're the fulfilled women. My wife is smart enough, friends, and she's so organized, she can be making six figures. She's a lot smarter than I am. And a lot of women are that way. But I appreciate women who are being keepers at home, putting their brains and their energy into the household. Brothers and sisters, that's a wonderful thing indeed. I'm going to quit now, but Jamie, thank you for bringing that topic up.